Take your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Job, the 41st chapter of Job. I'd like for you to stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. 41st chapter of Job. We're just going to read one verse for our text verse, which is verse number 11. Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again today for the wonderful, wonderful grace of God. Thanking you for the two souls that was won to you today, brought to you for salvation. And Lord, what a wonderful thing it is to be able to even be a part of it, to be present when it happens. Thank you. And today, Lord, once again this evening, we need you. I need your power. I need your wisdom. I need you to help me as I preach so that we'll be a blessing to your people. Once again tonight, you help me, you empower me, and use me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, I preached a message on treasures, where to put them. If you was here last week, you remember that God told us not to lay up treasures on the earth for ourselves, but to lay up treasures in heaven. He told us if we lay up treasures on earth, it's for sure moth, corruption, rust, thieves is going to get them. If you remember, but he said also, if you lay them up in heaven, there's no worry about any of those getting them. They'll be there forever. So I'm saying tonight is that not only we need to know where to put our treasures, but we need to know who owns all the treasures. And you know what? In this one verse of scripture that I read to you tonight, God says he owns everything. Everything is his. We're going to preach a simple message and yet a wonderful principle that I believe that absolutely every Christian needs to understand, and it will help you tremendously if you do. And that is the simple principle that you and I do not own anything. Let that settle in. Absolutely nothing. We are managers. We are stewards. But it's not ours. You know, some many years ago, I don't even remember when it was, I learned this principle in my life, and it has helped me tremendously as my wife and I has lived our life here on this earth. The principle that absolutely that anything her and I have in our possessions is not ours. Absolutely nothing. It's a principle that if you get a hold of, it'll help you so tremendously. I realize that the home that God has allowed me to have possession of is not mine. It is his. I have a garage out there at the house in which the Lord allows me to get in there once in a while and tinkle around and work with some wood and do some things that I enjoy tremendously. But that garage is not mine, and neither is the tools that are in it. I have a barn out there, and it's got some hay in it. It's got some wood that we've been blessed to have had cut, and Brother Don Mowry cut most of it for me, and I have it up there drying, where when it's done drying, I'll probably be able to use it to maybe make some things one of these days. But it's not mine. It's not mine. I guess you look around, and I don't care what it is, if you'll just understand the principle that what you have in your possession is not yours. We have a freezer out at our house, and it's pretty well packed with meat. I'm going to tell you a little story, and it's not mine either. I told you this morning about the Smiths, Kim and Jeff, and how we was had the privilege of leading Corey to the Lord, and he was to get baptized over at Carlisle Church today. I want to tell you how the contact came about. Kim called me, and well, let me go back a little bit before that. I was studying for last Sunday night's message on where do you put your treasures early in the week, getting it ready. And I was reading, remember I took you there too, and I was reading about John the Baptist and how he responded and told them what to do. And one of the things he told some of the people there to do was, he said, if you have two coats, give one to someone who has none. He also said, in that same verse of scripture, if you have meat, do likewise. That very day, later that day, Kim Smith called me and told me they were out of groceries. They didn't have anything. They didn't have anything to eat. And told me a lot of other things, problems and troubles and heartaches and all of this. And one of the things she said was, Brother Ross, we don't have a stick of meat. Now, I'd been studying the Bible. And so God said, you do. And so I gathered up some meat. My wife and I talked about it, and I said, I think I ought to take some meat over to them. And I got some of the things out of the storehouse out here, Joseph's storehouse, some of canned goods and things like that, and fixed them up a pretty nice thing and took it to them. I'm telling you this only for a reason, because God has told me to tell you. Let me tell you honestly. I do not like to tell personal things. I really don't. And if you'll notice, a lot of times I don't tell you a lot of things I do because I don't want to. I'd rather it just be between me and the Lord. But there's times when God instructs me to use it as an example. And I have to do it. So I loaded it up and went over there. And because that we took that meat over there and those groceries over there, I was able to lead Corey Smith to Christ. God opened up the door. What I'm simply saying is, you see, if I would have sat and said, that's my meat. That's mine. No, it isn't. And God decided that that which he had given me to manage for him, he wanted me to disperse of some of it. You see, God, we only are stewards for God. Now, some people, I don't know how you feel about this, but it's a principle that I want you to just to listen to. I want you to hear, because it is a true biblical principle. If you will get this thing together that you don't own anything, you'll be a blessed person. That you only are a steward of that which God has allowed you to have. It's really not yours. Okay? You only are a steward of it. And whenever he determines that something ought to be done, something ought to be given away, then we ought to do it. We ought to have a close enough relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to have him guide and direct us on a daily basis of what to do with those possessions that God has given us. That's the kind of relationship that God wants us to have. You have that kind of relationship, a close relationship with him, you won't have any problem understanding when he wants you to do something. Many of you today could do the same thing. You, many times in your life, you said, God just wanted me to do this. I don't, you know, understand exactly why I did it, but God just wanted me to do it. Well, the reason is, and here's the principle that I trust that you'll listen to these next few verses and listen to them very well. Over in Psalms 24, and I just want to read it to you, okay? I want you to listen. I'll read it twice. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He's telling us everything in the world is his. Now listen to this verse of scripture in Haggai, the second chapter of Haggai, the 8th verse. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. God says, young men, has any of you got any change in your pockets? Have you got some change, any of you? You're all broke? That's okay. I know you put it all in the offering, didn't you? It's God's. No, it is. No, it's His. The silver and the gold is His. Doesn't belong to you. Doesn't belong to me. You know, Chris Mumaw over there started a business. And he deals in silver. I don't know what he's got into gold yet or not. If he has, that would be interesting. Because gold, I think, is what, about $250 an ounce, I believe, somewhere in that area. What is silver an ounce? And then somewhere around $3, $4 or something? About $4.50 an ounce. Okay. But he started a business. Now, let me say something to you. I'm proud of Chris. He started a business. I think it's great. You know, he even come into in the office and sat down with me and said, I want to know how to tithe off of this business. Now, I'm telling things maybe I shouldn't, but I don't think Chris will mind. He came in and sat down with me. He wanted to know how to handle it. He started a business. I think that's wonderful. And he started a business dealing in silver. All I want you to remember, Chris, it isn't yours. It's God's. But he's given it to you to manage. Laura Scales back here. Where's Laura? Laura started a business. Yes, she did. Daycare center. I'm proud of you, Laura. I mean that. I'm very serious. I'm proud of you. I think that's a wonderful thing. She took it on herself. She got a trailer over there, and she started a business because God directed her to do that. I don't know. Yeah, Jeff's over there. Jeff lives in Indianapolis and comes home every weekend. We get to see him every weekend. He lives in Indianapolis because he works up there. But he got a job. You know, I was mentioning to you the other day, and I looked up and I saw Jeff Reiser, and I said, yeah, we need some more Jeff Reisers. We've got some more around. We got some young people around that's going out, working, doing what's right. One of these days, maybe they'll all get married. We don't know. And they'll raise a family. Amen. And bring their kids to the nursery. Amen. Sure. But we'd be thrilled with that. But what I'm saying is I'm proud of them. Now, I may be missing somebody. If I am, I don't intend to miss anybody. I'm just proud of you. I'm proud you're doing right and doing good and doing the right and proper things. But I want you to understand the truth, not only these young people, but all of us adults. That gold and silver that we make is not ours. Now, that's a principle you need to get a hold of. It is not ours. It's only given unto us to manage, to be a steward of for the Lord. So you get a hold of this principle. Over in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, the 18th verse says this, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Now listen to this. For it is he that giveth the power to get wealth. Brother Brewer, you couldn't even make anything unless God allowed you to. I couldn't either. God says it's he that gives the power for us to get wealth. We need to remember, without his power, without his allowing us to, we wouldn't make anything. Amen. Listen to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 20th verse. For we are bought with a price. So what he's saying is, you know what? I bought you. I own you. Lock, stock, and barrel. Everything that you are, everything that you have, I own you. Why? Because Christ bought us. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It's a wonderful, wonderful truth. Now, God owns everything. Now remember this, God owns everything, but you and I are the stewards of what God has allowed us to have. Okay? We are stewards of it. I want to read to you something that a man by the name of Randy Alcorn said. He made a statement. Felt it was good, and I want to read it to you. Said, a steward manages assets for the owner's benefit. Okay. And he says, the steward carries no sense of entitlement to the assets he manages. It's his job to find out what the owner wants done with his assets and then carry out his will. Isn't that good? See, what he's saying is simply that as stewards, we are holding that which God has given us to manage, and all we need to do is find out how God wants us to spend it. What God wants us to do with it. Amen? Because it isn't ours. It doesn't belong to us. Now, folks, listen. I know sometimes that gets where it down to where it hurts. But if you'll learn this principle and you'll look at everything you have as God's, and you're just the steward of it, it'll change your whole life. I'm serious. It'll change your financial life. It'll change how you deal with people, how you spend money. It'll change a lot of things in your life if you just get a hold of that principle. There was a John Wesley. Most of you have heard of John Wesley, preacher of old. And there was a man rode up. He was getting ready to hold a meeting, and a man rode up on a horse and said to John Wesley, "John Wesley, I hate to bring you this bad news, but," he said, "your house burnt to the ground." John Wesley stood there and took it all in and said, "Well, you're wrong about one thing. It was God's house that burnt to the ground." David, it was God's store that burnt to the ground. You understand? You see, if you look at your house and go home and look at your house and in your mind put a tag on it that says, "God owns this." If you and I will go along, and remember last week I had you putting wings on your cars and everything else. If you also put a little tag on that car that says, "God owns this." And everything you have, put a little tag on it in your mind that says, "God owns this. It's not mine." You'll be surprised what it'll do for your life. Because he does own it. He's already bought us with a price. It's his. Now, most people act like it isn't, but it is. Now, I want to talk to you a few moments about the joy of giving. Giving is a wonderful thing. To learn to give is a blessing. There is more joy in just learning to give. Well, one man said, "You know, it's more blessed to give than to receive." One man said, "Since I want you to be blessed, I'll let you give and I'll receive." Amen. But I want to tell you, the person who really is blessed is the person who gives. A giver understands that principle and learns that principle. Brother Jack Gordon and I was just standing back there, and we was talking about where our treasures are, there will our heart be. It doesn't, one man said this, I can't remember who it was said, but he said, "It doesn't take our feet long to go where our treasures are, because our heart follows them." You see, what you really treasure, that's exactly where your heart is. You know why some people don't care about the work of God? Their heart's not there. Because it's not their treasure. See, where your what you treasure, your heart will follow. You understand that? That's a principle. That's the truth of God's word. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Amen? So a lot of people don't care a thing about the work of God because that's not where their treasure is. And so it's not their treasure, and it's also their heart's not there. Their heart's not in it. See, why don't some people get their heart in the work? Because that's not their treasure. God's word says so. Understand? You see, it's wherever your treasure is. What do you treasure? What is important in your life? What is the most important thing in your life? Where is your treasure at? That's where your heart will be. Amen. That's what you'll talk about. That's what you'll deal about. That's what you'll think about. That's where your heart will be. It'll be there, wherever that is. Wherever those treasures are, that's where your heart will be. That's scriptural. It's what the Bible says. Amen. Now, this week, and I told you this week when there was another incident happened, but again, I told you this morning about the flood of joy that came over my soul just for being able to be a child of God. And it's just a wonderful thing to be God's child. Just to be a son of God is a wonderful, wonderful thing. What a blessing. God also directed me this week, and I put something in an envelope and sent it off. It was a gift of money that God told me to send someplace. When I got that in there, and I sealed that envelope, and I put a stamp on it, and I sent it, again, I had a flood of joy that flooded my soul. No, not because that I had done something great, but because I had minded God on what to do with money I had, and He told me what I should do with it, and I realized it wasn't mine, and I just done what He said. Because of that, there's a joy that comes into your life. When you just mind God, there's a joy that comes along with it. It is a marvelous thing to be able just to give. Joy comes with the giving. Whenever you get to thinking about ownership of the things you have, look at that as a red flag that you ought to immediately address. Look at that as a warning, because folks, according to the scripture, and I read you enough verses to tell you that, and I didn't read them all, you do not own anything. It belongs to the Lord. True? Do you believe that? See, if you get a hold of that and understand that principle, oh my, what it'll do to change your life. What you need to do is find out, how does God want me to spend it? Or how does God want me to handle the possessions that He has given me? That doesn't mean that God's going to tell you to get rid of everything you have. But I'm just simply saying, if He does, it's His business. Okay? I'm not saying that's what He's going to do. I'm just simply saying, listen to Him, hear Him, know that when He speaks, you and I should move. Because it isn't ours. Okay? Over in Romans, let's go to the book of Romans for a few moments. 14th chapter of the book of Romans. I want to bring this into the message at this point, because I want you to again understand something, a truth. In Romans, the 14th chapter, verse number 10, it says, but why does, Romans 14, verse 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's a tremendous statement. Do you realize and understand that every single one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Because the Bible says so. I mean, I think you know that. You've been around preaching. You know that's true. You've read your Bibles. Every single one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now listen to what He says. He says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. See, what we've got to understand is there is coming a day when our work record is going to be reviewed. There's coming a day when we have to face Him who gave us everything that we have. And we're going to have to answer and be accountable to what we did with it. Is that true? You believe that as a Christian? There will literally be a day when you and I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Yes, individually. We will stand and give an account of ourselves. Awesome. And how we handle things, what we've done with things, how we lived our life, and all of those things are going to be given an account for. Now, I know the blood covers it. I know all of that. We're in heaven because of the blood. But folks, we're still going to have to give an account of how we lived our life. Rewards, as the Bible talks about. And we have to give an account. Every single one of us in this room tonight will stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. Now, because of that, don't you think it would be a wise idea to get things straightened out and get things going the right direction and putting treasures where they belong and realizing who owns them? Don't you think that would be wise? Sure. You see, did you realize, I read this in a book. I never thought about that. But this man said, did you realize that every person sets his own salary? We Well, you say, Brother Ross? No, 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 Brother Ross. The company I work for, Brother Ron Allen, the post office. By the way, there's some jobs open back there. Ron, put it up if you're interested in a job. Ron, the post office, the government decides what I am going to get as a salary. Well, they may determine what you get initially, but you and I determine what we're going to keep for a salary for ourselves. No, we determine that. What are we going to do with that which we do get? We're going to determine how much we're going to keep. Is that true? Sure it is. We determine that. We determine what we're going to give God, what we're going to give away, we're going to give to the poor. We determine that, and then we have left that which is left. Again, I'm just saying to you folks, there is some awesome things when you think about all of this, because God lets us determine, what are you going to take for a salary out of that which you're allowed to have? What are you going to take? We determine that. So joy comes when you begin to realize that helping bring people to Christ will flood your soul with a joy when you realize that when you put some money in the church and they go out here and they buy gas and they buy buses and they buy gas, and these dear workers go out here and run these buses and all over this community area here and bring kids in like they did this morning, and someone got saved this morning, two someones got saved this morning, you realize because you put some of the money that God gave you in the offering and you spin it rightly, that you're a part of it. And you are. It's a marvelous thing to me when I see these on Wednesday evening, this youth visitation, get on a bus and they take off and they go all these towns and they get off of those buses and they go through this town and they visit and knock on doors and do all of these things and win people to Christ. And I think, you know what? I'm a part of that. Because some of that God gave me to manage, I put into the offering and it bought the gas and the bus to take them. I'm not saying that in a proud way. I'm just saying, thank God. It's a joy that floods your soul. Do you realize that you also are part of the Joseph storehouse back here to help feed the needy? Brother Klein and Sister Klein oversee this for us. Do you realize what a joy that is when they take some food to the needy and at the same time get an opportunity to tell those people about Christ? And when you put those cans and those things in there, you become a part of it because you've given that which God has given you. You've given a portion of it. And joy floods your soul. You see, that's where joy comes in giving, you see. When we build buildings and we put money and put our treasures in that God has given us to manage, and we put them in there so that building can be built, and then later on and we see all these boys and girls running around and going into those classes and being taught the Word of God, and you can say, I was a part of that because I took part of that which God gave me and I managed it rightly and I put it into that building for the building of it. That's joy. Joy floods your soul. You could go on to all kinds of things. When missionaries come here, and we support now 26 missionaries from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. That's not a bragging thing. That's saying, you know what? What a joy it is to be able to send the Word of God, the gospel of Christ, throughout the whole world, because these missionaries are over there preaching the gospel of Christ, and we are a part of it. Because you know why? We've taken some of that God has given us to manage and put it into the mission fund. And we're a part of it. That's where joy comes. See, joy comes from giving. Amen? Joy comes from giving. I see this school ministry here. And I'm so thankful for the school ministry. And I see what it's doing in young people's lives and how it's helping them and being a blessing to families and teaching and training these young people in the ways of the Lord. And I think, you know what? I'm a part of that. Not just because I'm the administrator, not because I'm the pastor, but because it's part of my life. I've given that which God has given me back to that ministry so that they'll teach people, young people, how to do right. And joy floods your soul because you're a part of that. See, joy comes from giving. Let me share a story. There was a family who was going through a very difficult financial situation in their lives. Very difficult, very hard. And yet in the very midst of that, came into my office and said, Pastor Ross, we had some things that was ours, and we sold them, and we got some money for it, and we want to give each one of the college students a gift. Now, folks, let me tell you something. They could have used that money. Oh, yes, they could have. Personally, they could have definitely used that money. But you know why? Because joy, they wanted the joy of giving. And all I'd done was give them the addresses and how to get a hold of them, give them the addresses, and they took care of the rest and gave. Out of poverty, they gave. That's where joy comes in. Amen? Why don't you go with me over to the book of 2 Corinthians, please. He says in verse 7, every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God said that when we give, we should not give grudgingly. In other words, I really don't really want to give it, but I feel like it's necessary for me to give, so I give it. God says he loves a cheerful giver. The word cheerful there, they tell me, means hilarious. It is a wonderful thing. A person, when the offering plate comes around, it ought to be a cheerful time. It says, I get the privilege of giving. That's where joy comes from. Look over in the book of Philippians, the 4th chapter of the book of Philippians. Fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, verse number 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desired fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound and am full, having received of Epirotius the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. See, the Bible says this was well-pleasing to God. Now listen to what he says. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The wonderful truth of that is those people gave, and basically out of poverty they gave. They didn't have a lot to give, but they gave. And God said, I'll be sure and supply all your need. Now, if you read this, all of this scripture, it's easy for us to quote that verse of scripture and says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But you better read before. You better read about the giving. And then God promises, he's saying to you and I, you know what? You're not going to outgive me. No, you're not going to outgive me. Because you give and I'll supply your need. I'll take care of you. Now, I really mean this. I believe that's the context that God means this. He's not talking to some stingy person who won't give. He's talking to those who give. And he said, then you don't have to worry about it. I'm going to supply every need you have. It's a promise of God. Amen? Sure it is. Over in 2 Corinthians, I should have told you to stay there, but 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, verse 1 and 2, 2 Corinthians. Listen to what it says. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. I look at verse number 2 and I'm amazed at that verse. How can you get, in that verse you see affliction, you see abundance of joy, all in the same word, verse. Affliction, abundance of joy. You see deep poverty. and you see generous giving all in the same verse. And God is not saying what I'm saying. There's a misnomer that only people are supposed to give is those who have money, who have a lot of it. No, no, no. That's not what these people did. They gave out of their poverty. And they didn't give grudgingly, out of necessity. If you look down at verse 4, they pleaded for the right to be a part of that offering. Folks, what I'm saying, listen to me. You know, there is, honestly, there's this thought around, well, you know, we've got this widow lady here and she don't have much money and she can't give anything. That's not true. That is not scriptural, and don't take the blessings of God away from that dear widow lady. No, she cannot give like someone else gives, but she can give and should. Why? To assure her being cared for. Because God will supply all of her need. Will he not? Promise to. So don't feel, what I'm saying, we ought to help those who need help, but don't just feel sorry because someone don't have a lot of money. They should still give to assure that God will take care of them. They won't give as much as some of us will give, but they can still give. The principle of giving is not just for the rich, it's for everybody. Amen? Boy, remember that. Because giving is the way that God returns back. You see, one of the things, one of the problems we had here in America, you know what that problem is. You know it's a welfare mentality. We're supposed to go out and take care of everybody, whether they work or not. We're just supposed to take care of them. That's done more damage to America than anything else. Because let me say to you, people need to work. They need to work. It's right to work. You see, do you help folk? Of course you help folk. But folks, you're not to sit around and do nothing and expect the world to take the church or the world to take care of you. No, no, no. Work. See, and give. You say, I don't have much to give. It don't make a difference whether it's much or not. Give. It's not always have to be dimes and nickels or dollars or $5. It don't have to be. They can be all kinds of things you can give. Remember the coat? Remember the meat? Remember the other things that we have that we can give? You must give so that you'll have the assurance that God will take care of you and supply your need. See, giving's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And so they didn't let poverty stop them from giving. In fact, they were so encouraged, they pleaded there in verse 4. Pleaded. That Paul would not turn them down and he would take that which they brought as an offering for the saints. Look at 2 Corinthians, verse number, chapter number 8, verse number 1. We'll just do this quickly on this one. But verse number 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Folks, if you understand giving correctly, you'll find out in verse number 1, verse 6, and verse 9, the Bible says that giving is a grace of God. It is a grace of God. Learn to receive the grace of God in your giving, because it is a grace of God. Not only that, I want you to go back to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter of 1 Chronicles. I want to show you a principle. Chronicles 29, verse 10. Listen very carefully as I read this. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Now let me say before I read that next verse, this is when they was bringing offerings for the tabernacle, getting ready to build the tabernacle. David had just encouraged his son Solomon to build the tabernacle, and much was needed to build that. And so here in verse 11, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Now, I want to say right before I read verse number 14, David had already given a great, great offering himself to the building of the temple. He didn't just ask the people to. He himself gave a great amount of gold and silver of riches to the building of the temple. In verse 14, he says this, "But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." David said, yeah, we give all these riches, God, but it belonged to you anyway. It was yours to start with. If you'll go on up into verse 16, "O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own." David learned the principle, understood the principle. He didn't own anything. And anything he gave, it was because God gave it to him first. Folks, listen. If you just get a hold of this principle, understand that principle. In fact, I would encourage you tonight, if you have never ever done that, you ought to come to an altar tonight and give everything back to God. And say, "God, it doesn't belong to me, it's yours." Listen, it'll change. It'll change the way you spend. Ladies, dear ladies, it'll change the way when you go into Walmart and other stores and the way you spend. Because what you'll begin to do is look at that money and say, "I am a steward of this money." That does not mean God doesn't want you to have some things. It's all right if God, if you have some things and you know in your heart it's okay. That if you buy that or purchase that, God lays that on our heart, and it's okay with him that for us to have things. But I'm telling you, if you'll start checking everything that you'll go purchase and realize that the money you're purchasing with is God's money, you'll spend it different. I believe this for years, and I've tried to teach this for years. When you make a big purchase, I want to tell you something. You ought to get God's permission on that. You ought not to go out and just make a big purchase somewhere and not get God involved in it. No, you ought to have it okay from God because it's his money you're purchasing it with. Do you hear me? I'm trying to help you. I'm not mad at you. I'm trying to help you. It'll change the way you look at those possessions you have right now. Oh, yeah, I will. It'll change it, you know, because you look at them, you say, "They're really God's. They're not mine. And I've got to manage them for him. I've got to take care of him." I've always tried to, and I believe a person ought to do this. You know, God's been so good to me. And again, I'm going to tell you something that I don't like telling. But my wife and I give cars away. More than once, we've literally give cars away. And God has given me back cars. Yes, he has. I'm just telling you. Now, what I'm saying to you is this. When you realize that car is not yours, you'll take care of it. No, you won't speed around and speed all over the place and tear up the tires and do all those. No, you won't. You'll say, "This is God's car. I need to do it right. I need to be right about this and drive right and do right because it's God's cars. It isn't mine." Now, there's a lot of times we refer to things as ours, and I understand that. That's because we say, "Well, my this or my that or my car." That's all right. But in your mind, remember, it isn't yours. It belongs to God. And it'll change the way you do things. Folks, it'll change your spending habits. Oh, yes, it will, if you'll do it. So it's a principle that needs to be in every person's life. And folks, it's a wonderful principle. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that God gets on in how we ought to spend our money? And what we ought to do with that which we have? We don't know what to do with all that. But God does. Isn't that wonderful? You see, that takes a lot of pressure off of us. I don't know what to do. God does. I'm just simply saying to you folks, I trust that you'll make that principle true in your life tonight. If it hasn't been, make that principle true. Give it back to God. It's His anyway. And say, Lord, I'm going to be careful with it. And I'm going to mind you, and I'm going to spend it as you tell me to spend it. Boy, that'll change a lot of things, folks. I'm not being unkind, but it'll change a lot of foolishness that goes on in Christian spending. It'll change. You know why? Because you realize that's God's money you got, not yours. You go out here and blow it, you're blowing God's money. Understand? God said, and I read those verses, the silver and the gold are mine, saith the Lord of hosts. It's His. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you for the truth tonight, the fact that you own everything. It's all yours. And Father, I trust that we as your children will certainly live according to that principle. Seek your will in how we spend things and what we do with our possessions. Lord, even our time, Lord, belongs to you. And I pray, God, that we understand the truth of this and help us to put back into your hands that which we've taken, Lord, out of your hands and is doing what we want to do with it. But instead, help us give it back to you and realize that you're direct and help us to know exactly what we should do. So I ask your will be done tonight. If there's decisions need to be made, maybe just new commitments made, renewed, whatever it might be. Oh, God, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.